everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, looks like a beautiful weekend. Then we'll get back to, well, it's been rather cool for late May and June, but we'll get back to more seasonable temperatures as looks like we'll go up to about 100 or more.
Around 100.
Yeah.
Sunday and Monday, and then back to the mid-90s.
Well, we've only had one day.
You're in the driver's seat? Does that mean I'm riding shotgun?
You're riding shotgun, my friend. You've got all the controls there, so keep my audio where it should be. Buckmaster, on a Friday, it's June 2nd, 2023. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, the radio station, 1030 KVOI, the voice for Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We're in our 13th year of the radio show and really 35 years on TV and radio here in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening podcast and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Our telephone interviews, our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We like to do a media shout out on Friday. A couple of our media friends who have supported us through the years, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and his team over there. They've done a great job. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. That's Dan Shear and his team. And one of his team mates is with me in studio, Mary Glenn Hatcher. Mary Glenn, great to see you.
Good to see you too. Thanks for having me.
You and the team have been real busy down there, and you guys do a great job. Keep up the work. All right. Tucson Local Media Group, thank you for their support. Their portfolio of publications includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Fred Duvall is with us on the live line, the chair-elect of the Arizona Board of Regents, which is charged with the oversight of Arizona's three universities. Regent Duvall previously served on the board from 2006 to 2012. He ran as the 2014 Democratic nominee for governor of Arizona. He's currently the president of Duvall and Associates. He's the founder of the Institute for Civil Discourse at the University of Arizona. He's the architect of the Arizona Teachers Academy that offers students covered tuition and fees for their program of study if they agree to teach in Arizona public schools. Fred, how are you?
Terrific, Bill. Good to be back with you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program and talk about serendipitous. Today is the day to have you on for sure after the news broke yesterday that ASU will be opening a medical school, and you and your colleagues at the Regents have committed $30 million to developing healthcare workforce. Let's unpack this, Fred Duvall. What do we know about this new school?
Well, if I can, Bill, and put it into a system-wide and statewide context. So what we've really taken on is the workforce shortage in healthcare. We are at the bottom of the country per capita in doctors, same with nurses. One in three of Arizona's hospitals has a workforce shortage. They're paying big costs in overtime. 3 million Arizonans are not within 5 miles of a primary care physician. So we have not been keeping pace in the production of health professionals to our population growth. So we've asked all three of our universities to respond to that crisis. Tucson, U of A, will be growing its medical class, so that's a piece of it. ASU has now been green-lighted for the creation of a college of medicine. It will be different than a traditional college of medicine, which we can get into, and we will be assigning NAU its role in this in the fall, but that will certainly include enhancing their already very strong nursing and allied health programs.
So the new initiative furthers a family legacy for you, Fred Duvall. My goodness,
Thank you. Your father
was a surgeon and served as the first dean of the University of Arizona's medical school when it opened its doors in 1967. So this kind of feels good to you, I guess, Fred.
It does. It's a little bit of unfinished business, and you're sweet to reflect on that. Because this is a Tucson conversation, let me take some liberties and give you just a tad of history. So In 1962, the Board of Regents hired a consultant to decide where should the College of Medicine go. Tucson, U of A, was the answer because of the strength of the basic sciences. That didn't sit well with Phoenix. Grady Gamage, the president of ASU, tried to take that to the ballot in the 1962 gubernatorial race to stop Tucson from having the College of Medicine. And the legislature finally broke the tie. Mo Udall actually was indispensable. He came up to Phoenix and said, if you want CAP water, we want the medical school. So it was a big fight. But the important part of that, that as it relates to yesterday's announcement, is that the regents and the state all said, look, it is inevitable, given the growth of Phoenix and the inevitable growth of ASU, that ASU will have a College of Medicine someday, and that day is today.
So besides the School of Medicine, there'll be more of a kind of a health preventative component to this. I think it's going to be called, Arizona Health Observatory.
That's right. We are really, so they're taking a very comprehensive view of this assignment, looking at how do we educate folks to make better health decisions, to take better care of themselves? How do we get in, you know, into the wellness business in a more thoughtful way? There will be clinics that ASU will be a part of. So that's a piece of it. U of A will have, it's an assignment to grow the telemedicine capacity that they have so that rural Arizonans get the benefit of this new care. So it's a multi-tiered strategy. As to ASU, the most interesting component of this is that ASU now has the largest engineering school in the United States. And what they have realized, and I think it's very smart, is that the future of medicine, like everything else, is technology-enabled. And so what they're going to do is do a blended degree that is engineering, technology, and medical education, so that as we think about wearables and we think about telemedicine and all of the new technology-enabled forms of healthcare, that we are now producing physicians to meet that need and to drive the bioscience, health sciences objectives that the state, Tucson and Phoenix both have.
All right, Fred, I want to bring in my co-guest host today. Mary Glenn Hatcher is with us from the Green Valley News. Go ahead, Mary Glenn.
Hi, Fred. My question is just, this is a huge initiative, and I'm wondering, do you guys have a realistic time frame for getting something like this off the ground, thinking about the medical school?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. People still marvel when I tell them that my family arrived as the son of the founding dean in November of 63, and we graduated the first class in 67. You can't do that today. It will take longer than that. There is obviously you got to build facilities, you got to build faculty, and you have to go through accreditation. And this will be a, you know, start from scratch accreditation process, which will take certainly, I would imagine, you know, 4 or 5 years. So, you know, this isn't going to happen tomorrow, but, you know, the second best day to plant a tree is today. And that's what we're doing.
Money wise, where's the money coming from, Fred Duvall?
Well, it's a great question. We have started with a $30 million grant from the regents and a $15 million grant from the governor to do all of the studies about workforce needs, what we need more of, less of, et cetera, how this engineering combination component academically will work, what does it cost to scale the U of A's College of Medicine graduation class to full scale, which would be a doubling, looking at all of those needs, lining them up, and then putting a budget to that. Now, second part of that is, where does the money come from? ASU is really good at figuring out how to do third-party relationships. You see how fast they're growing. That's notwithstanding that the state continues to cut universities' budget. They are finding lots of innovative partnership ways to grow. In this engineering technology model, the notion is that while we will need state support without a doubt, and the public will be beneficiaries of better care and more doctors, that we can raise a lot of this money with partnerships with companies who are in this technology engineering space. That is, not yet settled, but we are ambitious and think we can do it. The hard piece, though, is back to the U of A, because that is a traditional, you know, medical education. It's expensive. And for us to double their graduates, which is our goal, it's going to require help.
You know, I was looking at this U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention survey. They surveyed 8,000 adults in Arizona. Three out of 10 Arizonans report not even having a personal doctor, Fred Duvall.
Right. It's these numbers, we kind of keep digging at them, and you know, if you finish that report, you'll see others. We're behind in every metric, and here's why that's so challenging. Is all of us now know, I mean, I have, I suspect your listeners have, difficulty getting appointments with doctors. When you get an appointment, you usually have a, you know, an undue length of wait. But then here's where the cost drivers get absurd. The number of people who, because they cannot see a primary care physician in a timely fashion, they end up getting their care at the emergency room, which is the most expensive way to dispense medical care. And that's all a backloaded cost because we did not make the front-loaded investment for more health professionals.
That is so true. I know so many people, and I've actually had the personal experience myself. You have a serious issue, and you need to see a doctor. You need tests, perhaps medical imaging tests. And what do they tell you? The medical imaging people are telling you, we've got a two-week wait. Well, you've got an urgent problem. They just send you, go to the emergency room. But it's funneling people from the front end to the, kind of the back end.
That's exactly right. At a cost of care, because you know the emergency room has all of the people, all of the technology, because they have to meet any need that walks in the door. When what you really need is just to see a doctor,
yes,
who can either give you a prescription or give you an immediate diagnosis. It's absurd, and that's really one of the reasons why we've got to tackle this crisis.
All right. We've got a couple of listener questions. We'll pick up on that. And Mary Glenn Hatcher with me from the Green Valley News. We'll continue with the chair-elect of the Arizona Board of Regents, Fred Duvall, after we take a break. It's Buckmaster on a Friday.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Our Friday Focus interview is with Fred Duvall, Chair-Elect of the Arizona Board of Regents. The Board of Regents is charged with overseeing the oversight of our three state universities. Mary Glenn Hatcher is with me in studio. Mary Glenn from the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. Mary Glenn, why don't you start off the questioning? Let's move from healthcare to tuition.
Yeah, my question is about a move that the Arizona Board of Regents took in April. They approved a tuition increase at the state's three public universities that ranges from 3% to 5%. But the board also put that fate of future increases in the hands of the legislature. So Fred, my question is, can you talk a little bit about what led to that decision and why the board decided to go in this direction?
Well, 100%. Welcome the topic. We worry so much about the cost of access, how many Arizona families have gifted students but simply can't afford to send their students to us. And we're doing everything we can to bring every form of efficiency to our costs and to keep the cost down. But there is a direct correlation between the reduction of state state support over the last 30 years and the increase in tuition. It is almost one-to-one. We, at the high water mark about 25 years ago, about 60 percentile of our total revenue was from the state. Today, it's under 20. Yet, you still got to pay the faculty, still got to pay the light bill. And so that forces tuition increases. So we decided to make that an explicit understanding with the legislature, who loves to, run for office by talking about how awful the tuition costs are. So we've said, if you will contribute at a level equal to what a 3% tuition raise would raise for us, we will cap tuition at zero and we'll do it every year that you meet that need. And let's create a partnership that is predictable and can give Arizona families the assurance that they can afford to come.
And what kind of response have you gotten from legislators from this effort so far?
Well, I don't want to necessarily assume that the message has been well saturated yet. These things take time. However, I will note that the universities were cut by about 50% in this budget year. So what we're doing isn't working yet, but we're going to keep after it.
Mike, a listener, Michael, has sent me an email, and he's glad that you're on the show, he says, but he would like me to ask you, Fred Duvall, if you and your colleagues can do anything about the numerous fees that students have to pay in addition to their tuition.
Boy, it's a great question, because there are a lot of fees, and we've been after that. There are too many, and we're trying to reduce them. It's a workaround because of this pressure around tuition. And the reality is that many degrees cost more to produce. Certain equipment you need in the lab, certain kinds of skills, certain kinds of technology, et cetera. And so we're constantly figuring out how much of that should be applied into everybody's tuition base and how much of it should be essentially a user fee, but carried by the student who's the beneficiary of that cost. And that's what drives a lot of those fees. But we are mindful that most students, A, find them annoying, and B, is that the total cost of coming to a university isn't just tuition. It's tuition, it's fees, it's housing, it's transportation, and the total cost of attendance is just too high.
How about graduating high school seniors? How many are going on to higher education in the state of Arizona, and are we quite a bit behind other states in this area?
Bill, great question, because this year the legislature passed a really ramped up, it's called dual enrollment bill, which enables high schools to negotiate with universities for more and more of their higher senior level courses to qualify for college credit. That does a number of things. It reduces the cost of tuition because those are free credits, which, you end up don't having to pay for once you get to the university. Two is that it accelerates the speed to degree, which is a real cost saver and good for attainment. But the real crisis here is this. We graduate about 42% of Arizona high school students get some kind of post-secondary degree, community college, university, et cetera. That's about 20 points below the national average. Hmm. And in a knowledge-based economy where the more people that are educated with more skills, the more entrepreneurial activity, the more new product creation, the more business starts, we've got to do better. And so dual enrollment's a big piece of that. The other thing is a big piece. It's called ArizonaTransfer.com. We've built a system where students can cherry pick courses at both community colleges and universities that have been pre-designated as credit gaining courses, so that many students are getting their first 2 years at a community college, then coming to us for the final two, and then the net cost of the degree is significantly lower as a result.
There is this trend. A majority of Americans now, well, they told a survey done by the Wall Street Journal that they don't think a college degree is worth the cost. How do you address that, Fred Duvall?
This is what keeps us up at night. The numbers around the United States of college enrollment are going down. Fortunately, because Arizona is a growth state, we're growing. But that's not true for the enterprise writ large. And it's a function, I think, of a couple things. One is because tuition is getting too high, and people look at that and they think, am I going to get a return on investment for that? Secondly, is that we've not done a good job of explaining how much more employable people are. The average graduate of with a degree from an American university over a lifetime averages about $1 million in lifetime earnings relative to a person without a college degree. In recessions, I'm sure you're familiar with these statistics, in recessions, direct correlation, the more education you get, the lower the unemployment rate was, to say nothing of the quality of life benefits and the tax benefits. And we make a strong argument, and we've been working with the governor on what's called a promise program, which 32 states have, where the state helps support qualified students with state financial aid to come, is that because those students are making more money and being more successful, their tax investments are significantly higher, and it pays for itself many times over.
So certainly the student debt is playing a huge role in this. The student debt level, Fred Duvall, has reached $1.7 trillion. So this is, many of these people, I'm sure, are saying, I just don't want to incur all this debt. And so you're talking about this, what is it called, Arizona Promise?
That's right. Arizona Promise, which is would be a state financial aid program, which exists in blue and red states alike, Utah, Oklahoma, Georgia, all over the country.
And how does it work, simply put?
Simply put, the state says if you are A-minus or better student with good character, showing promise that you can succeed in a university setting, the state will contribute X percent, varies, but X percent against the cost of your tuition as our state investment in your staying here and being a job creator and a job producer and an economic value add to the state of Arizona.
Is this in the new budget, or is this something the legislature has to take care of, deal with?
Both. It started, Governor Ducey actually started it, and Governor Hobbs has taken it up a notch. The investment this year was $20 million, but which we greatly, greatly appreciate. But I want to put that into perspective. We currently spend $1 billion in financial aid. Here's sort of the under the rug secret about the way that these universities get financed, is that we want to make tuition as low as possible for Arizona students. And the way we do that is with a lot of financial aid. How do we pay for the financial aid? By recruiting students from out of state and around the world who will pay full freight. You know, when people think, gosh, your tuition is $14,000 a year, that's full sticker, which very few Arizona students are paying. But we have a brand that people like. People want to come to Arizona for school. So we use that to subsidize what we call institutional financial aid. The universities themselves are making the contribution of $1 billion in financial aid. If we can generate a partnership with the state, that the state will pick up some of the cost of the financial aid, as 32 states do, that will be reflected in tuition costs. We will cap tuition and lower it if we can.
All right, Mary Glenn Hatcher with me in studio from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Go ahead, Mary Glenn.
Hi, Fred. Yeah, Bill, your mention of student loans had me thinking. I'm going to have to start paying mine back soon after this pandemic pause. And I'm wondering, Fred, is that a discussion that the board, or a topic that the Board of Regents has talked about, or what that would mean for current or future students?
Every meeting, It has to be top of mind. The pain that families are going through and alumni are going through is just too severe. So we have a set of metrics that we use as macro metrics for performance. You know, KPIs, familiar in the private sector. One of them is that the average student debt has to stay below a certain threshold. And so we are constantly monitoring that. Now, I don't want to in any way minimize the debt, but I do want to describe it. It is disproportionately carried by students at for-profit institutions that don't end up getting, don't get a degree, don't get a job, and can't pay it back. That's where the defaults are occurring. That's a whole separate issue. That's not to say that we don't want to try and keep that number as low as possible and drive it down as we can. But it is, the picture of how that debt gets allocated against the whole country is a bit misleading. It is disproportionately among the for-profit enterprises.
All right, let's take a break right here with Fred Duvall, who is the chair-elect of the Arizona Board of Regents. We'll have more with Fred and Mary Glenn Hatcher from the Green Valley News after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Boy, it'd be a great weekend to get over to Green Things and get some beautiful things for your garden. Our live line for our telephone interviews brought to you by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our Friday Focus interview is with Fred Duvall. Fred is the chair-elect of the Arizona Board of Regents. And if folks don't understand what the regents do, that's a very important board because they oversee pretty much the oversight of our three state universities. Fred, I want to talk, and I do want to mention, of course, and Mary Glenn Hatcher with me in studio. We'll hear from her. She's got a question for Fred in a moment. But Fred, I want to go back to, we talked about shortages of doctors and certainly nurses on the medical arena, but what about teachers? I know you're very proud of something you created or helped create, conceived, called the Arizona Teacher Academy. Fred Duvall, is it paying dividends?
It sure is, and this is a Tucson story. So in my debate running with against Doug Ducey in 2014, at our Tucson debate, I proposed this notion that we should incentivize more of our students to teach, because you can't make a rational decision, back to tuition for a moment, you can't make a rational decision to go into teaching at a salary level that you will never pay back the student debt. And so proposed this idea that we should, for every year that a student commits to stay in Arizona, that we will pick up their tuition. We are up to about 3,200 students a year. Now, that's a good number, costing about $20 million a year. But the real issue is retention. Teachers are getting frustrated. They're putting in 2 or 3 years, and they're not staying. And so we are not yet at scale to fill the gap. And so as a result, there are over 1,000 classrooms this fall that did not have a fully credentialed teacher. So we are focused on it, we're after it, but there is no way to pay for that other than state support, so we are always going to be passing the hat for that.
And, of course, engineering, IT, information technology engineers, huge shortage in that area as well, Fred.
That's right. And U of A is growing its engineering, and then, as I mentioned earlier, ASU now has the largest engineering school in the country to try and meet that need. And the alchemy that now exists between universities and the growth of the manufacturing, the chip manufacturing industries, the arrival of Taiwan Semiconductor, the growth of Intel, et cetera, that's a strategic application of how the universities are trying to meet specific workforce needs to drive Arizona economic development goals. And that's exactly the model that we're now going to try and move in life sciences.
All right, here's Mary Glenn Hatcher from the Green Valley News with Fred Duvall.
Hi, Fred. My question was about school safety. In light of that highly publicized shooting death of a University of Arizona professor, I'm wondering, is hardening up security at our three campuses a reality? And what does that look like?
Yes. Mary Glenn, obviously this is painful. It was a horrific event for our campus community, for our Tucson community, and the answer is yes. There are a number of things that we are doing, but what we do not want to do is close campuses. Campuses, by their very nature, are part of the community. So therein lies a lot of the security challenge. But a number of things we can do. Number one is we learned that the communication protocols for people who see, observe, or know of risk factors needed to be restructured, organized, so that it was absolutely simple and instantaneous that people can be heard. That has been addressed. You need to have it's not a campus lockdown, but building lockdown capacity, the capacity to instantly lock doors. There are a number of safety protocols that we can apply to individual buildings and sections of campus. That's happening. Third is that you've got to have instant ability to communicate with every campus member, be it student, faculty, janitorial, whatever it is, that something has happened. And we have fixed that system to be sure that everybody gets instantaneous information should they need it. Working very hard on the protocols as to how we share threat information between campus police, Tucson police, and local law enforcement, particularly prosecutors. There were some gaps in that from this that we learned from, and so we are tackling it in every way possible, short of obviously closing the campus.
And this is an issue, isn't it, that every university is facing, what to do about, to what degree of hardening a campus. I mean, I don't know, and maybe it exists, but there are maybe some universities and colleges that have taken almost extreme measures of locking down their campus. I don't know, but it's a big issue for every university.
It is. And, you know, there are variations of lockdown. You know, you don't want to build a wall, but, you know, we are debating, you know, should you have a security card to ever enter every building? You know, maybe there are things like that that are gradations of lockdown that we're exploring all of it.
One thing we haven't talked about is the research success at the University of Arizona. We're talking big money, Fred Duvall.
This is a fantastic success story, and I want to brag on all our campuses, but particularly when we start with Tucson. The University of Arizona set a goal to reach $1 billion in annual research by 2025. They will do it ahead of schedule. They are just, no pun intended, rocking it. And I say no pun because obviously NASA has been a very big part of that success story. The research is happening at a very fast pace. It is also occurring at ASU. ASU will hit $1 billion at about the same time as U of A. We may be one of only three or four states that has two schools with a $1 billion research portfolio. What does that mean? It means new cures. It means new ideas. It means renewable energy concepts. It means new breakthroughs in cancer. It means new, you know, pharmaceutical discoveries. It runs the gamut. And so much of that happens in universities. And it will be a driver of 21st century industry, you know, as we continue to grow. So we're extremely impressed and pleased with the progress we're making.
How about these research grants? Are these being directed to the local communities around Arizona?
Yes, this is something I'm very excited about. We have set money aside from the research budget, and we've re-engineered, if you will, the way we do research so that we start with the problem. We've gone to state agencies. We've said, what problems are you trying to solve for which you lack the talent? We're now taking that, and we've done all kinds of things from around water, around forest health, around broadband, et cetera, trying to solve valley fever. A lot of that were state agency assignments. We've now taken that model, and we're going to communities we call community grants. We're going to mayors, and we're saying, what problems are you trying to solve for which your public universities have smart faculty who can be part of thinking that through with you? And we'll be rolling those out very soon.
So, big challenge ahead. What would you say the number one challenge is for you and the Regents right now as we go into the summer break? And, of course, it used to be things got very quiet in the summer. That is no longer the case in Arizona. What's at the top of your agenda as you transition, Fred Duvall, into the chairmanship of this very important board?
I would say there are really three. The first is what I would call the attainment challenge, which is this notion we talked about that we are about 20 percentage points behind the national average in the number of our high school students going to post-secondary education. We need to move that number, and that's going to be an all-hands-on-deck strategy to make sure that we've got a talented workforce for our employers throughout the state. Secondly is what I would call alignment, and that is, are we nurturing the workforce that we need to make the state need? You've been kind enough to ask about two of them, doctors, nurses, healthcare being one, teachers being a second. But we need to think even more broadly than that. Where is the state going? Where are we going to have a foothold in 21st century growth? And are we aligned correctly so that we are producing the workforce that those future industries can need? So that as they think about where they want to locate plants or locate corporate headquarters, they think, gee, a lot of talent coming out of those Arizona schools. I'm going there.
You know, we have not mentioned, and we need to mention, it's been very controversial, this online component of the University of Arizona. What about that whole area of online higher education?
It is a very challenging and yet critical part of the equation. Once you build it, it is less expensive to provide students an online education. You've seen it at ASU. ASU is now, but I've got about 70,000 students online, degree seeking online, hundreds of thousands who are coming into the ASU platform to get some form of credential or other courses. U of A, as is well known, is in the process of acquiring what was once a for-profit entity, has about 30,000 students, and converting that into the U of A's online program. Why? Because a blended approach brings everybody's costs down, which gets after this tuition and cost of attendance issue. Secondly, is that the evidence is crystal clear that, much like you think about airlines, insurance, other industries where marketing drives consumer behavior, that's what's going to happen with online education. And there won't be 200 universities with viable online education. There'll be 10, 20, 30. And our goal is to make sure that our universities have enough critical mass so that they make the cut, have enough momentum that they can survive the compression that's coming.
All right, Fred Duvall, we will let you go. And I'd like to kind of circle back with you as we get into the new school year in the fall, if that's okay.
It's okay, and congratulations again on your, did I hear it was, we're now 39 years of broadcast service?
35.
35. You're an institution, and we're grateful. You do a better job of informing listeners about the key issues than anybody in the state, and grateful to have you.
Well, thank you very much, Fred Duvall. 35 years in Arizona broadcasting, and I hate to say it, over 50 in the business, but it's a long time. A lot of institutional memory there, Fred Duvall. Thank you, Fred, and we've had wonderful conversations on TV and radio. Hope we continue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. We thank Fred Duvall, the chair-elect of the Arizona Board of Regents. Mary Glenn Hatcher is with me from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Mary Glenn, I got to ask you about this story about a gentleman, I believe he's in his mid-70s. He saw a Gila monster in the road, stopped, wanted to help. Mm-hmm. We can all see that. They're wonderful looking creatures, but they will bite, and this one bit.
Twice, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Two bites.
So how's that going? How did the whole thing come about? And it's very rare, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, our local fire department, Green Valley Fire Department, said that this might be the first Gila monster bite they've heard of in a long time. It's pretty rare, but they will, bite when threatened, and their bite does have some venom in it, which is to be avoided. But yeah, a Green Valley resident was actually taken to the hospital earlier this week for that bite after he was helping a Gila monster cross the road, if you will. He saw it in the road and was trying to assist it, get it out of the way of passing cars when it bit him. Yeah.
And unfortunately, this gentleman is having a real hard time. He's in critical condition.
That's the last update we got as of Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We're hopeful he's doing better. But yeah, it's...
And it's not just Gila monsters, and this is something that's not Green Valley specific, because the javelinas are everywhere, at least in anybody listening to this radio program in southern Arizona, they know about javelinas. And unfortunately, an injured javelina wound up on somebody's doorstep.
Yeah, our reporter Jamie Verwise just wrote a story about what to do when injured wildlife kind of shows up on your door. But yeah, a woman in Green Valley found an injured baby javelina on her patio, and was searching around for what to do. You know, who do you call when that happens? So Jamie wrote a great story about that, has some great information, and just a hint, Arizona Game and Fish is probably who you want to reach out to. That happens to you.
Rattlesnakes, the best place to call if you have a problem. And it's not just if you see a rattlesnake. It's like if a rattlesnake looks like it's a threat, maybe on your doorstep, maybe not moving, moving along, but people can get service from the fire department.
Yeah. Contact your local fire department, because a lot of them are registered to remove those snakes safely. And they have their own equipment, and they can handle that professionally. So our actual local fire department got more than 80 snake removal calls in 3 days. A couple weeks ago. So they're out there. Just be careful.
Definitely. And I've heard that, that they do remove them to an area that is still within the range, because they're very territorial, I understand that. And if they move the rattlesnake out of their range, that's bad news for the snake. But if they stay with, move them to kind of the outer limits of their range, that the animal will live. And we don't want to go around just killing a bunch of rattlesnakes.
Yeah, another reason why you want to call the professionals.
Yeah, let them do it. Monsoon safety, everybody's worried about it. Of course, we've got the thunderstorms, the summer rainy season, and it's always worth talking about do not drive into a wash where the water is running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It happens every season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the type of event that can be totally prevented, you know? So I was just at a safety preparedness forum with the Green Valley Council yesterday, and they had a lot of emergency response agencies talking about how to prepare and just how to keep yourself safe. A lot of it is just stay home and pull off the road and don't attempt things that like driving through water or driving through a dust storm. Just be safe and look out for yourself.
Mary Glenn, a lot of people in Green Valley and Tucson are going to miss you. You've spent 2 years with the paper, with the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and you've decided you're going to take a little time off and kind of reevaluate where you want to go in the future. And that's understandable. But I know people will miss you, and you'll miss a lot of the friends you've made here.
Yeah, it's been great. I'm going to take some time off to be with my family back in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I've learned so much being here. I've appreciated, you know, everyone I've met. I've gotten to write so many great stories. There's just so much going on in Green Valley. So it's been really great to spend some time there.
Well, I hope, for one, we see you back here in Southern Arizona. We certainly need good journalists. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And all the very best to you. We will pause right here, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, coming right up on Buckmaster on a Friday.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
That, my friends, is music to my ear. I am ready for the weekend, even though it was a rather shortened holiday week. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City. And as we say, the Buckmaster Show guarantee 10 degrees cooler or more in Silver City in the summertime because of that elevation. 74 right now in Silver City. So if you're thinking about a weekend getaway and you want to kind of cool off, head east, my friends. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for where to stay, what to do, and even where to dine. And speaking of dining, a Weekend Watch with our friend Matt Russell. Good to have Matt back in the driver's seat with Weekend Watch. Matt, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing great. Good to have you back on the air. You know, that bumper music automatically triggers rum in my mind, that Bob Marley, music. I certainly hope you enjoyed some fine rums when you were in the Caribbean last month.
Well, when you arrive at San Juan, let me put it this way, a giant sign, welcome to the rum capital of the world. So there was a little bit of rum on the Buckmaster palate,
so glad
to say
to hear
the
it.
Least. Hey, Matt, who forgot to bring the donuts here to the KVOI Bustos Media Studio? This is National Donut Day. I guess we didn't get the memo here.
That must be a misunderstanding. I don't know, but you got it right. It's National Donut Day. You know, there's so many people in our local confections community that are celebrating this moment with the pomp and circumstance it rightfully deserves. Amy's Donuts on Fort Lowell, they're going to be handing out free donut holes while supplies last. 1912 Brewing Company on Forbes Boulevard, they're going to be doing a beer and donut pairing with three donuts and 3 6-ounce beers. The Tucson Hop Shop over on Dodge, they're giving away free mini donuts starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. There's so much going on in donutdom. So many donuts, so little time. Celebrate responsibly at your favorite local donutery.
Donut land, I'll tell you. I'm always ready. What's going on with Westbound? As I recall, they've been around for a few years now.
They sure have, and the celebrations are going to continue into the evening. This is a beer and wine bar, as you said, Westbound. They're in the MSA Annex, just off of Congress Street, a little bit west of I-10. They're celebrating their fifth anniversary from 4 to 9 tonight. So check it out, what they have planned. Free popsicles, $5 drink specials. They're going to be doing a complimentary rosé sampling from 4 to 6. A celebratory toast of the bubbly at 6 p.m. and then live music from 7 to 9. Now, this venue is really a fun concept brought to us by the family behind Tap and Bottle, that tap room and bottle shop that's all about community. And we want to wish a happy fifth anniversary to their newest baby that they lovingly named Westbound. It's tonight.
And for all of you vegans, our apologies from Weekend Watch. We probably don't give you enough coverage, but let's do that right now, Matt Russell.
Indeed, I'm a carnivore at heart, my friend. But it is nice from time to time to showcase the deliciousness of vegan cuisine. And tomorrow night at 7, the Owls Club on Scott Avenue, they're going to be hosting a star-studded event curated especially for our local vegan crowd. It's called the Vegan Night Market. Tucson Foodie calls it a plant-based playground. There's going to be mouth-watering food and sweets, cocktails, music, arts and crafts. All told, 15 local eateries are going to be serving up their very vegan best, and there's no admission fee. So just pay for what you eat and drink and for the items in the shopping plaza. Vegan Night Market. It's tomorrow night at the Owls Club.
One thing I did notice on our vacation in the Caribbean, more and more restaurants and resorts, Matt Russell, are setting aside a portion of the menu for the vegans.
Yeah, there was, years ago, you really had to struggle to find something made with vegan ingredients that actually tasted good. I love vegan cuisine. Sometimes you got to, sort of surprise me to say there's no meat in here. So, yes, I love that this is happening and it's being celebrated across the world.
Matt, always great to hear your voice. Thank you for your service to Weekend Watch and have a great weekend.
right back at you, my friend. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music by our friend, our German friend, Christophon. Thanks to Rose. Rose Brandt, our assistant, making sure that the podcasts are up and posted in a timely fashion. Also, thanks to Tom Fairbanks, engineer producer, everybody here, the entire Bustos Media Tucson team. Be well, everybody. Stay safe and have a very lovely weekend.